praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. This series we're teaching on is called Proactive Healing. I will teach you how to walk in divine health in this series, show you how to walk with God so you won't have to have any sickness and any disease. Now, there will be a number at the end of the program and a website where you can contact us and you can get these teachings in their entirety, and they're all free and postpaid. Praise the Lord Jesus.
None of us ever been guilty of that, have we? Oh, I can't do that. But see, that's all contrary to what the Word says you can do. The Word says you can do these things. So we got an enemy out there that wants us to continue to speak the negative things, because when you really begin to realize that the world you live in, you have spoken it into existence with your mouth. In fact, I asked my Sunday school class last Sunday morning. They're all well trained in the Word. They've listened to me teach the Word of God for many years. Most of them have been there for a long time. I said, I'm going to give you a scenario and I'm going to see what you're going to do. I said, in the morning you wake up and you smell this foul odor in your bedroom. And you think, what is that? And you turn and you look, and there, standing beside your bed, in a form that you can visibly see, is our enemy, Satan himself. And when you look at him, he looks down at you and smiles, and he calls your name and said, I've come to kill you. Today is going to be your last day on the earth. I said, how would you respond? And most of them in my class said, I'd tell the devil I got authority over him. He can get out of my house in the name of Jesus. I said, oh, you really would you? And they said, yes. I said, okay. Now then, let me tell you how it's really going to happen to you. I said, chances are he's not going to have to come and manifest himself in a form you can see. Chances are you're going to be laying there in bed one morning, and all of a sudden an excruciating pain is going to hit you in your heart. And you're going to wake up, and now then you've got a choice to make. Are you going to be in fear? And are you going to call 911? Or are you going to take the Word of God and say, Satan, Jesus healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago, and I have complete power and authority over you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for healing me, and turn over and go back to sleep. Yeah. What choice are you going to make? Well, I'm going to tell you what choice 99.9% of the church makes when that happens. You know what we do? We call 911. I'm serious. How many of you, of course, I can't really even see you. I can just barely see people out there. These bright lights are so bright. But if you get a headache, how many of you stop and rebuke the devil and command that pain to leave you? Or how many of you go to your Banison bottle or your or whatever bottle and get a pill and say, oh, honey, I've got a headache today. I just don't think I can do anything today. I'm going to have to stay home today. I feel so bad today. I know none of y'all besides me ever done that. But we've all done that, haven't we? You do it until you learn who the enemy is. When you learn who the enemy is, you don't do that no more. Jesus heals you on the cross 2,000 years ago. He's waiting for you to take away from the enemy by force what is already yours. In other words, let me give you this little scenario to start out with today. Almost 2,000 years ago, on this day, where was our king? He was in hell. His spiritual body was in hell paying the price for your sins, as so clearly laid out in Psalms 88. He was, the wrath of the Father was being poured out upon him for you and for me. And after the total wrath of God had been satisfied, he sent the mighty Holy Spirit in down into that deepest hell, and he raised Jesus from the dead. And I can see those demons of hell having their party. They're thinking, we've got it done. The earth is ours forever. We have killed Jesus. It's a done deal. The earth is ours. There'll never be another one. He was the one and only Son of God. But after the total wrath of the Father had been paid, the mighty Holy Spirit went down there and raised him from the dead. And can you imagine the terror in Satan and those demons' eyes whenever Jesus was raised from the dead and walked over to Satan himself and grabbed him and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him and put his neck on him And it's exactly like Colossians chapter 2 says, he has now disarmed Satan, and he has triumphed over him completely in what he did on the cross. And then, isn't that awesome? And then the Savior came from there. He said he made a spectacle, an open spectacle of Satan and his host before the entire cosmos, the universe, all to see that all power and authority has now been given to Jesus. Now then he leaves that place and he comes back to earth. And on Sunday morning, the Feast of First Fruits, I don't know how in the world we ever got this name Easter on the Feast of First Fruits. But Jesus became the first fruits of the first resurrection. He rose on the first day of the week. And how in the world Easter ever got in there, I don't know how the devil did that, but he did it. That's the third feast of the seven feasts of Israel, which he fulfilled to the letter when he rose from the dead and became the first fruits of the first resurrection. And now then, all power. Can you imagine a king now that walked as a king on this earth for 40 more days? And he walked and he told his men, he showed them himself and told them what he had done. And then he goes out there and he stands on that hill and at the Mount of Olives, and he stands before his men and he said, all power and all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. And I delegate that power and authority to you. You go in my name. You're my ambassadors. You go and teach people that this gospel is awesome. You teach them this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Teach them that I died on that cross for them, that I rose again from the third day for them. I didn't do it for me, I did it for them. Now you go out and you teach them, and you teach them to do everything I told you to do in my word, everything I've taught you to do. And he said, and these signs shall follow the believers. The believers shall go in my name, and you shall cast out demons. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall handle Satan with your hands with no harm. If any deadly poison comes in contact with your body, it won't hurt you at all. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall get well. And he made that awesome promise. He told us that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. And he told it to us again in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20. And then the king left and went back to heaven. And the devil was in big trouble. He said, guys, we're going to have a board meeting. We're going to have a board meeting. If these people on earth ever get a hold of what their king did for them, we are in big trouble. Because the day they learn, they can cast us out. All they got to do is walk holy before the king. We got to get them to living in sin. We got to get them on drugs. We got to get them on alcohol. We got to get them on nicotine. We got to get them living with somebody out of wedlock. We got to do something so we can keep legal right to them so they cannot walk holy. We got to keep them telling dirty jokes. We got to keep them talking idle words. We got to keep them doing everything that God told them not to do. Because the day they become perfect like he is and they begin to do what he does, then that's when the power will flow through them. And when they speak in his name, it'll be just exactly like he was still here on this earth. And we no longer have one Jesus to contend with. Now we'll have millions of them. So we're in big trouble. Well, the devil's done a good job on us. He's done a good job on us. But when you learn this, then you'll want to walk holy before the king. Most people, it's so unfortunate, most people in the church don't even know these things are available to you. Because most people in the church never read their Bible. And when they do read it, they don't believe it. Because the promises he makes are so powerful, that you don't believe that you can do those mighty things. But believe me, you can. You can. If you'll believe God, you can. All right, today, I'm going to continue on an outline that I started a couple of months ago. And I'm going to teach people today. In fact, I was talking, my wife and I were sitting there talking the other day, and the news came on. I come in and sat down with her a few minutes, and while I was sitting there, the news came on, and there was a lady talking about her son, how he was a police officer here in this Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, and how he had been killed. Some of you, I'm sure, heard that whenever those six men got out of prison. And she said, I hold the penal institutions partially responsible for the death of my son. Said if they had done a better job protecting the penal institution had done a better job, then these boys wouldn't have got out and my son wouldn't have lost his life. So she said, I'm going to do everything I can to increase the security in the prisons. And I heard that and I thought, you know, what a stupid statement. My wife said, what do you mean? That's what she ought to do. I said, no, it's not. She shouldn't work on that end at all. I said, that's the way we do everything. We work on the wrong end. I said, what she needs to do is to stand before the people in authority and say, we want to put Jesus back in the schools. We want to put Jesus back in the workplace. We want to put Jesus back in everything. Because when people learn who Jesus is, people come to Jesus and Jesus cleans up your life. And when you become a born-again Christian and you read this book and you realize who He is, you won't be on drugs no more. When you learn who He is, you won't go out and commit sexual immorality no more. You'll stop lying. You'll stop cheating. You'll stop doing all the evil, wicked things, and you'll start walking holy, because you'll learn that when you don't walk holy, you get a demon, and nobody wants a demon. So I said, she's working on the wrong end. Well, I said, you know, honey, I never thought about that. I said, that's what's wrong with us. We always work on the wrong end of the spectrum. We try to do things just like at work. Something will get tore up on a truck, or something will get tore up in the building. They want to know, how can we fix this where this don't happen again? I said, it's simple. You bring the people in and teach them how to use the equipment. You know, that solves all of your problems. You don't have to put 3,000 safety devices on a piece of equipment that gives you a nightmare trying to maintain them. All you got to do is train the person that's using it how to use it. And if you do that, your problems are solved. But we don't want to do that. They'd rather have me as an engineer figure out a way to stop it from hurting somebody when they do something wrong. Isn't that amazing? That never ceases to amaze me. Well, it keeps me working, I guess. It keeps me working. Always got something to do. Okay, today I'm going to teach on the proactive approach to healing. I have never taught this series in my life. But this is the first time.
We're going to have to stop right there today on the teaching. We'll start again tomorrow, right there at the very same place. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this teaching on proactive healing. If you would like this teaching in its entirety, if you will give us a phone call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web, www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. And there you can order this information free and postpaid in its entirety, in its entire teaching. Or you can go to the website and you can listen to each one of these individual programs over every day. Praise the Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Praise His holy name.